Hello. The right, by which I mean the right of politics, is a write-off. And in this video, I'm going to explain how, over a period of years, I have come to reach this conclusion. It's actually in the light of a controversy around something that Tucker Carlson said recently and the general response to that comment by Tucker, and also related here in Britain, controversy around a few things that were said by the official Restore Britain account, or by Rupert Lowe, I can't remember. So funnily enough, my two copes are involved in the story, Tucker and Restore. We're going to get to all of that in a moment. First, though, I will remind everyone to pick up a course at the academic agency. Trivium is the bestseller. The most recent course was one called Foundations of Geometry. There's also Foundations of Shakespeare and many other fantastic courses available. You can get most of them in the Mega Bundle, so check that one out for great discounts. Now, let's get going. Why do I think the right is a write-off? Well, really, it all goes back to the fact that generally, rightists are unable to see something that I would say a handful of people think is self-evident and easy to see. Let me just break it down in this way, okay? You're up against an enemy, okay? An enemy that thrives on divide and conquer. An enemy that thrives on pitting different groups against each other. That is their core strategy. And you, faced with trying to defeat this enemy, have a choice. Do you, A, try to unite with those other groups, deny their attempts to divide and conquer, say, no, we're not going to listen to your framing of all of these different issues. We're going to stand firm for our own interests. And if that means allying with this group, and this group, who we don't particularly like, against you, that's what's going to happen, okay? To me, as somebody who's into strategy, as somebody who wants to win, I see that as the reasonable, logical course of action, and all other courses of action are illogical. However, the right, written broadly, will do anything possible. It will trip over itself. It will bend over backwards. It will perform triple cartwheels and somersaults to avoid reaching that conclusion. It wants to either say, come up with a whole list of excuses as to why that course of action is not possible, or it wants to say that actually that enemy that I'm talking about is not the main enemy, but rather there's another, more important enemy. The more important enemy being, I don't know, the left, as an example, or the more important enemy being Muslims, for example. Okay, so I'm going to explore this now. I want to explore what has kind of is passed off as wisdom. It's actually passed off as received wisdom on the right. And I want to explore this because whenever anybody starts talking in the way that I've talked about, they'll say, oh, you're actually retarded. Everybody knows that the enemy of my enemy is not my friend. And this is trotted out. It is literally repeated as a mantra. If you actually have a look into that phrase, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, is the actual phrase. That was ancient wisdom. And for hundreds of years, it was used as ancient wisdom. Sun Tzu mentions this at some point, okay? It was codified into literature as being a phrase. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. What did it mean? What did it actually mean? It meant that when you're up against an enemy, the enemy of that enemy right now, for all intents and purposes, is your friend in the goal of getting rid of that enemy. It didn't mean that you were like the best of buddies, that you were, that it meant that you had to like become each other or welcome you. You know, it didn't mean that. It meant that for the purposes of this alliance, you're my friend against this mutual enemy that we've got, okay? So it was a phrase that was talking about the nature of a military alliance, okay? Who was it that turned that wisdom on its head? Who was it that who subverted the basic wisdom of that idea? Funny enough, it was none other than Winston Churchill. And it was Winston Churchill, in typical Churchillian manner, who subverted the phrase exactly after he'd done the very thing that the phrase talked about. In this case, the enemy of my enemy, okay, is my friend. That friend, or that would-be friend, was Stalin, okay? And obviously, FDR, Churchill, and Stalin buddied up against their mutual enemy, Hitler. And Churchill, because he was a rightoid, Churchill, because he was Churchill, wanted to say, actually, no, the enemy of my enemy, in this case, Stalin, the enemy of Hitler, is not my friend. Stalin is not my friend because he's a commie, or because communist Russia is not our friend. And actually, the phrase was coined after World War II, when the Allied powers then turned against the USSR for the Cold War, okay? And the purpose of the subversion of the old phrase was basically as a signal to, you know, after years of generally pro-Russia or pro-Stalin stuff to try to set, because we were allied in the war and so on, good old Uncle Joe, they needed a new narrative line, and so this was come up with, all right? And obviously, like unthinking parrots, every single rightoid repeats this as if it is ancient wisdom, right? The Churchill subversion. The actual ancient wisdom is what I said it was. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, okay? And that doesn't mean that you become a naif. It doesn't mean that these temporary friends for the purpose of the alliance are your best buddies forever, right? It really means it in the pragmatic sense of what a military alliance is, okay? So that's the first thing I want to mention. And the fact is, most rightists are frankly stupid, and they will not accept what I've just told you there, okay? It is beyond their capacity of understanding. And so for the purposes of anybody who wants to do anything about that enemy, the right is a write-off. It literally cannot get out of a frame that advantages that enemy. It cannot get out of the frame that default, de facto, advantages that enemy. And the enemy, I'll remind you again, thrives on divide and conquer. It thrives on pitting groups against each other. So that is the first thing. And I should also mention, if you have a look at recent history, every other group does not say the enemy of my enemy is not my friend. Every other group actually is perfectly happy to make temporary alliances against a common enemy. In fact, very often, and rightoids would take note of this, very often that common enemy has been the white man. Very often it's white people who are in the crosshairs of the mutual enemy for all those other groups. So they don't abide by that logic, but you do. You abide by a rule that nobody else abides by, that rule being a Churchillian subversion of ancient wisdom. So that's the first thing. That's the first reason why the right is a write-off. The second reason is that if the reason for rejecting the notion of uniting the different groups against the common enemy is not the first argument that I've made, which is, oh, the enemy of my enemy is not my friend, but rather the argument that the ultimate enemy is actually not this enemy, but some other enemy, the left, quote unquote, or Islam, quote unquote. I actually believe that it is more logical, it is more coherent to have other positions than that one. For example, I think Tommy Robinson on this particular topic, right? Tommy Robinson sees Islam as the ultimate enemy. Okay, that is his basic frame. He says this is the greatest threat to mankind. Okay, now I don't agree with him. You may agree with him. I don't. Okay, I think it's stupid. I think 2 billion. I think it's a bad idea to try to make an enemy of 2 billion people, or to make generalizations about 2 billion people. Okay, I think that Tommy Robinson works for one little country in the Middle East, and that's what they want you to think. Okay, but let's just pretend that Tommy Robinson is completely sincere and that he's right. Okay, that Islam is the greatest threat. If you believe that, it makes sense to actually follow the line that Tommy Robinson does, that you should actually support Israel uncritically, that you should actually be part of that, that they're actually doing you a favor, that you should adopt the kind of maximalist, recently Keir Starmer banned that Valentina Gomez woman, okay, who I don't like. She's a horrible counter-jihad slop character, okay? But, you know, I think Tommy was trying to bring her to the country and Starmer banned her. I actually think it's more coherent to adopt that frame and to adopt that view than to try to lean into this thing of like, oh, actually, no, they're both like equal enemies to us. I think that's incoherent. I think that's silly. It's not a both situation. It's an either or situation. Okay. If you think, that Islam is such an absolute threat to humanity, as Tommy does, and as many people who claim that they're not kind of Tommy Tard types, that they actually claim that, you know, they're wise to the Israel issue and all this sort of stuff, that what they do, and I think it's incoherent, and a person who's like this is actually someone I'm friendly with, Connor Tomlinson, and I told him this in a direct exchange. He disagrees, okay? I think he's wrong, and I'll explain why. If you genuinely think that Islam is the kind of existential threat that Tommy says, you, that is already a frame, okay, that one, I would say, is kind of Israeli coded, okay? But also, I would say, if you genuinely believe that, it is logical, therefore, for you to support Israel and to support Donald Trump in his war and all of the other things, right? This is not like what people call light switch brain. This is logic, okay? What is the first rule of logic is that you cannot have two things cannot occupy the same place. And when we're talking about a number one existential enemy, it is an either or. Do you understand? It is not a case of both sides. You cannot both sides this. It's one or the other. So I'm afraid to say on this score, I think Tommy Robinson is more coherent than people who try to take the Connor Tomlinson line. It's just more coherent. Also, if you notice that Tommy Robinson actually does not abide by the enemy of my enemy is not my friend, because Tommy Robinson actually allies with all the other groups, whether it's Indians or Sikhs or, you know, whoever else, black guys who don't like Islam, et cetera, et cetera. He's actually perfectly prepared to ally with all of those other groups, LGBT, whatever it is. He is happy to ally with all of those other groups against Islam. And from his point of view, that is perfectly logical and coherent. And, you know, I think that is a more coherent, more logical line than this kind of notion that you can never make any alliances against a common enemy, which is frankly stupid. Tommy is more logical than you are. This is what I'm saying. Okay. What else? So the other one, I noticed this was an Aaron McIntyre post. And again, I profoundly disagree with Aaron. He was saying, oh, look, you've got to understand, you know, the opportunity slipping through our fingers. You know, he doesn't agree necessarily with the course that the Trump admin has taken. But his concern is still, oh, well, if we don't do something now, this is like a kind of once in a generation opportunity. The left is going to like, it's all about the problem is the left again. The problem is the left. The problem is the left. And again, here's the issue. if you think that the problem is the left, actually your best shot of getting, of actually winning tangible victories against the left is to do the whole thing where you try to empower the Zionists, right? But it's that whole gamble again. And why do I say that? Because they're the ones who've got organizations, they're the ones who are organized, they're the ones who actually control the discourse and so on. Okay, so it doesn't really make much sense to paint the left as the main enemy or as the main problem that you need to deal with if you then say, well, actually that strategy of buddying up with them doesn't really work for reasons X, Y, and Z. Okay, again, this is logic. People say, oh well, this is it's too much of a binary. Oh, it's too much. It's actually more complicated than that. It actually isn't. It actually is not more complicated than I'm telling you. Okay? Just like no political formula can brook an end, there is only one ultimate enemy on the map. Okay? And if your belief that the ultimate enemy on the map is, quote-unquote, the left, then it is illogical. It is actually not logical to go down a kind of anti-Zio path, because the actual right as it's constituted right now is organized in such a way that talks to Zionist interests, and lots of the left are against the Zionists. Simple as. One more thing that I would like to say in this video is that, in a way, everything I've been talking about is only hypothetical. Why is it hypothetical? Because the right, as I've been talking about it, does not actually exist. It's just people saying stuff online. It's not an actual organization. It's not. It doesn't actually have leadership. There are no institutions to speak of. So what I'm talking about here, I mean, I've heard people talk about it as the fake negotiation table, right? People have this notion that they are actually in dialogue with these other groups, okay? That there is actually, what it is, it's a fake negotiation table. You actually hold no power. You don't have a seat. You aren't anybody because you're not organized. You do not actually represent anybody, okay? And given this fact that I've just stated here, all we're actually talking about is the ability of people conceptually to take this. It's not even a tangible, it's a concept. This makes it even more pathetic. It is a conceptual step. Okay, so I'm talking about a step that you're taking at the fake negotiation table of doing a potential alliance. And even in that hypothetical, not real scenario, people still are not prepared to go there. So if you're not prepared to go there when you hold no actual power, when you aren't organized, and we're speaking in a purely hypothetical way, you're not prepared to go there then, that shows me that, mentally speaking, you're still basically a slave. You're still basically enslaved to frames that have been set up by your enemy. Given all of the things that I've just said, I see absolutely no prospect whatsoever of the right, quote unquote, ever getting anywhere in our lifetimes. Okay? It has learned precisely zero lessons. In the past 10 years, no lessons whatsoever have been learned. Tucker Carlson, bless him, is doing his best. Him and his buddies at the CIA, they're doing their best. But unfortunately, the raw materials, the people he's working with, are simply too stupid. They are simply too blinkered and stupid and corrupted and slavish to be able to go where Tucker wants them to go. That's the raw. If you're watching this, Tucker, that's the actual fact. They're just too stupid to follow your lead. They won't do it. They will not follow your lead. Instead, they will adopt the language of the enemy and call you the retard right. They will empower Ben Shapiro again and call you, Tucker, the retard right. Because you happen to point out that Muslims, accept Jesus as a prophet while Israel smashes statues of Jesus in the face. right? That's what the comment was that provoked the backlash. So what that told me is that the right, as it is constituted right now, is basically it's not redeemable. It will not take the path that is necessary to actually liberate themselves. They like the chains. They have the leadership they deserve. They have the parties that actually represent them. That's the lesson I take. So as things stand, I'm basically done with the right. I'm basically done. I'd rather join a left-wing party because I see greater prospect of getting somewhere because they are organized. You know, you say what you want about the left, but every trade union organization has got a strong, has a stronger view, closer to Tucker Carlson or Anna Kasparian or any of these other people. They have a stronger line on this than your typical right slot merchant who instead stamps their feet up and down because Tucker made a really kind of quite banal and facile comment about Islam. This is the level of maturity we're dealing with. So, yeah, I mean, I see basically no prospect on the horizon whatsoever. The Restore stuff, which is a debacle, you can leave it to other people to watch. But as far as I can see, the potential problems that I talked to, the advice that I gave a couple of months back in various different videos just wasn't heeded in any single respect. Maybe some of the people there just don't have the power to make that happen. But as I'm, the direction of travel for them is again toward the slop and counter jihad direction. And yet again, this gets us, but it's like kind of being in a time warp. You know, we're back there again. We're back in 2016 again. Back in 2018 again. You know, 20 years of complete lack of results when it comes to this particular strategy, and yet people keep on doubling down on it. Okay, there are some good guys on the ground there who understand what I'm talking about, but not enough. They don't understand it enough. I mean, I'll say openly, if Connor watches this video, he doesn't understand it enough. Because how do I know? Because he's still coming back with walls of text against what I'm saying here. And until everybody gets what I'm saying here, there's just no prospect of getting anywhere. It's basically like you might as well just, you know, go and do some gardening or something, or, you know, and that's basically what I'm going to do. I give up on the prospects of doing anything politically, especially with the right. The right is just too full of stupid people. Gonna go and get one of my tweed jackets, put my peace signs on with Simon Roberts. We're going to go down to the local Green Party meeting, and I'm going to be hip and happening. I kind of like that Hannah Spencer, you know. We're going to have to go that way because, or join George Galloway's party or something. Because the right, it's over, dude. It's just fucking hopeless, is what it is. And you know, the way I liken it is that you can imagine like a young man who's got Down syndrome or is kind of brain damaged in some ways, kind of mentally retarded, and there are numerous different doors in front of him, and you know, above two of the doors, it just says like certain death, doom. You know, this way you're just going to fall down a spike pit. Or there's this third path here that can actually lead somewhere. And it's like, well, how many times do you have to kind of like try to maneuver the retard into the correct door before, and then like still stubbornly he keeps on going into the left door, the middle door. And I don't mean this as offense against people with Down syndrome, by the way. I'm trying to like pick the right metaphor here. Let's just say he's brain damaged in some way, okay? He's had an accident, and you know, he keeps on like, doesn't matter what you do, he's just not going to learn. Again and again, like an actual spastic, he just cannot do it. At some point you think, well, I'm just wasting my time here. It's just a waste of time. And that is the conclusion that I have come to. There is no saving. You're like, you lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And that's basically where I am. I give up with it. I just give up. It's never going to go anywhere. And, you know, Warren or Eric or David or any of the other people who may watch this video who think the same sorts of things that I do when it comes to this particular topic, you know, I would do the same. There is just no, like, you're better off actually speaking to the blue air feminist. You might actually get somewhere with them because they, you know, they have the capacity for logical thought. You know, I mean, you may argue about any number of other things, but you can actually put those aside, you know, in the interest of the bigger threat at the moment. Anyway, let's get out of here, pick up a course at the academic agency, Foundations of Logic, people. Logic, yeah. Or writing, rhetoric, many other courses available, and I'll see you next time. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.